This week's showroom has been sponsored by family Grossman, Leila Nishmas, Reb Chaim Yosef, and Yisachar Dov, Zecher Livracha.
Tisha B'Av, Tuesday the 8th, the 9th of August, by Shimshon Silkin, the Moed of Tisha B'Av.
I'm glad you introduced that so cheerfully, because today's talk is about the aspect of Moed within Tisha B'Av. The Pasuk says, Koralai Moed, Yishboi Bachurai. That Megillas Eicha refers to Tisha B'Av as a Moed. As the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph points out as well, that Tisha B'Av is referred to as a Moed. A Moed normally has an association with being a Yom Tov. So we call a Moed, Eile Moed HaShem Mikroi Kodesh. And as much as we spend the morning and last night sitting on the floor, Bochoy Sivke Balayla, nevertheless, there is an aspect to Tisha B'Av that is a cause for celebration rather than commiseration. And it's that aspect that now we are at the point of Chatzos and we start climbing out of the Bechi of Tisha B'Av that I like to focus on. The reality is that there's already been some aspects of celebration on Tisha B'Av already by virtue of the fact that we didn't say Tachanun this morning, we didn't say Tachanun last night. We'll see in a minute actually the fact that we also didn't say Lamed Atzeach. We just finished davening by us, so literally less than an hour ago, we had to make the announcement, don't say Lam Natzeach, which is a mizmor, a tehillim, that the chayyah refers to times of trouble. It would seem most appropriate to be saying Lam Natzeach on Tisha B'Av, as much as it would also be appropriate to say Tachanun. But there are two phrases, one in Tachanun and one in Lam Natzeach, that make it impossible for us to say those tehillim, at least on the morning of Tisha B'Av. And we'll soon see what that is. The Ma'aseh, the truth is that in the Medrash it says, Lo yehoya moed liYisrael kiyom shenechrav beis hamikdash, that Tisha B'Av is perhaps one of the greatest, if not the greatest, moed. And it dafka uses the Loshon moed as well. It doesn't say call it a chag, it doesn't call it a yom tov. It calls it a moed dafka. And we'll try and understand the aspect of Moed that is within the day of Tisha B'Av. We'll begin with an obvious question, and that is a Tehillim that we did say this morning, that many people actually are curious about, and that is the fact that we did say Mizmor L'Soida. Mizmor L'Soida is a celebratory Tehillim, and every year I have to recheck my Siddur, or whatever sefer I'm using, the Kinnis, to remind myself, do you say Mizmor L'Soida on Tisha B'Av? It seems out of place, particularly because it contains within it the words, Igdu et Hashem b'simcha, bo'u l'fonov b'rnona, that we need to serve Hashem with simcha. And specifically, Igdu et Hashem b'simcha, that we are serving Hashem with simcha. And there's an obvious question there, which is, if we serve Hashem with Simcha, the Tisha B'Av, which commemorates the cessation of Avodah, the end of the Avodah, and Tisha B'Av being an Avodah itself, there's no question that Tisha B'Av is a day of tremendous Avodah, then how is it possible to serve Hashem B'Simcha whilst we are being Misaber? How can we apply Ivdu as Hashem B'Simcha even on Tisha B'Av? Not least, especially because that pasuk has been paraphrased. They attribute it to Reb Nachman, there could be others as well. Mitzvah gedoyla lios besimcha tomit. There's an need to be besimcha at all times. Certainly the Gemara learns from Ibduis Hashem besimcha that all avodas Hashem has to be done with simcha. We have to do it with joy. And Tisha B'Av is no exception. Tisha B'Av is also an avodah, the avodah of kinnis, the avodah of eicha, the mitzvah of the day. And somehow that needs to be done with simcha, despite the fact that the focus is on Avelus, and the focus is on the Churban. Moreover, we know, Shtek Pasuk, that the very reason that Klal Yisrael were dismissed from Eretz Yisrael was Tachas Asher Lo Yovadato Es Hashem Eloikecha B'Simcha Uvetuv Leivo. The very reason we were ejected from the land of Eretz Yisrael in the first place was because we didn't serve Hashem with Simcha. So here we are on Tisha B'Av, the day that's supposed to commemorate the Golus from Eretz Yisrael, and we are sitting on the floor, Ba'avelus, And yet the very reason we were thrown out in the first place was because we didn't serve Hashem with Simcha. There was a lacking in Simcha. So it seems to be contradictory. Mitzarecha, the Golos was brought about for a lack of Simcha. We're only, seemingly, prolonging the Golos by pushing away Simcha. What's the point? The Rambam asks, actually, very interestingly, the Rambam asks in his Hakdomah to Eicha, I think. The Rambam asks the famous question, how is Yirmiyahu HaNavi able to write Megillas Eicha, which we know was written with Ruach HaKodesh, if Ruach HaKodesh only resides, only rests on someone who is in a state of Simcha? The Rambam's famous question, I think the name of his Hakdomah there is called Yad HaMelech, and in there the Rambam asks, it's definitely the Rambam's question, how is Yirmiyahu HaNavi able to write Eicha with Ruach HaKodesh? There's no Ruach HaKodesh, which is staying in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Omid Beis, it's also brought down in Shem the Zoya, we learn how from Elisha, that Ruach HaKodesh is not Shruya, Ein HaShchina Shruya Mitoich Atzmus, Elo Mitoich Simcha. That a person can only connect to Ruach HaKodesh. How was Yirmiyah able to write something to Ruach HaKodesh if there was no Simcha? Eicha is doch full of Aveiros. So I will take the Rambam's question and also ask a similar question. The similar question is, his question is on Yirmiyah, how he was able to write Eicha. I'm asking the following question. The whole reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first place was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed his Shekhinah. That's what it says. Manoich haste haste ponai bayem ahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his presence on the Beis HaMikdash, and the name of the Beis HaMikdash implodes on itself because the koach that kept it going was removed, the Shekhinah was removed. The Gemara and Chazal say that atzvus, sadness, drives away the Shekhinah. So here we are in Tisha B'Av trying to remedy the problem. And instead of being somewhat besimcha, trying to bring the Shekhinah back, we're driving the Shekhinah further away. That's the problem. We're driving the seemingly, according to the Chazal, that Shekhinah doesn't reside amongst people that are sad. And the whole reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because the Shekhinah was removed. What's the point of being sad on Tisha B'Av? It would appear as if we're doing the last thing we should be doing on Tisha B'Av. The Shekhinah left us today, let's push it, let's keep it at bay. How is a person able to be over Hashem b'simcha on Tisha B'Av? How can it be that we're trying to remedy the problem of the Churban HaBayis by perpetrating the very crime that drove us out of Eretz Yisrael in the first place, which was Tachas Hashem lo yavad etos Hashem elokecha b'simcha? And how can we expect the Shekhinah to return to Klal Yisrael, which is what we're craving on Tisha B'Av, if we're miserable and depressed? Elamai Muzai. We'll try and see that perhaps the avodah of Tisha B'Av is not atzmus, it's not depression, it's not sadness, but it's something else. We're not saying that we should be dancing. We are saying that perhaps it's something else. To your duas, well known, we're down the Gemara Tanya, Daf Kof Tesa, but also the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Talad on the base, that the first Tisha B'Av was not the first base of Mikdash, it wasn't the second base of Mikdash, it wasn't the first base of Mikdash. The first Tisha B'Av, ki yudua, was the Chet of the Meraglim. So this week's parasha, we learned about the Chet of the Meraglim, how Moshe Rabbeinu saw it, and how he reprimanded Klal Yisrael for what they did. And there's a very interesting notion here. Shane posted like this. You came back and cried that night. That's when the Gemara then time says you cried a bechiyah shechinon, and I'll be koveah this day as a bechiyah ledoreis. But it says that you cried, and so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, uvadovar hazeh in Perek Aleph Pasuk Lamed Beis, uvadovar hazeh einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. That the problem with the Meraglim was is that so they failed emunah. They were lacking in faith. They were lacking in emunas Hashem. Right? And for this reason, they didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael, and from that day on, for all time, Tisha B'Av was kavua as a day of Bechi, until Be'ez Hashem, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, where Tisha B'Av will remain, it just won't be a day of Bechi. So the Sefarim asked the question, what's the inyan here, Einchem Ma'aminim, that they didn't trust in Hashem? Is that the nature of the Chet of the Meraglim? Was the problem of the first Tisha B'Av a lack in emunah? If you look in the Rishonim really struggled to find out what the Chet of the Meraglim was. It's difficult. Was it Efes, like the Ramban learns, Efes Kiasa Om, and the various forum try and struggle to find out what the problem was. But it's definitely true that Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Devarim says very clearly what the problem was. There's a lacking in emunah. What does it mean they were lacking in emunah? What does it mean that they were lacking in emunah? Does it mean the very fact that they asked Moshe Rabbeinu to send spies into Eretz Yisrael, that alone was a chutzpah? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you it was a good land. Hashem said it was an Eretz Zovas Cholav Udvash. Who asked you to send spies in what you don't trust me? Like a father says to the child, come, we're going somewhere nice. And the child says, where are we going, daddy? It's a chutzpah. I told you it was somewhere that's nice, let's go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here's Eretz Yisrael, and they dared to challenge him. If that's the problem of the Meraglim, and the problem of the Klal Yisrael at the time, there's a very basic, obvious question. What does it matter that they came back with a negative report? Whatever they would have said would have already been a problem in the fact that they sent the spies in the first place. Who cared? Let's say they would have gone to Eretz Yisrael and they would have come back and they would have said, shh, a gewaldige land. It's got everything you need. It's flowing with milk and honey. There's fruit that's beautiful. It still would have been Einchem Aminim. It's like the child that the father says we're going on an outing. Is it nice? I said it's nice. And then when you come back, yes, daddy, very nice outing. A chutzpah! In other words, why is it the fact that they came back and it came up with a negative report? So the forum says something that's very, very startling. And that is that the reality is that the Meraglim came back on Tisha B'Av and they gave a report. They presented a report of the land. This is the lay of the land. The cities look like this, the fruits look like that. They didn't give any adjectives, maybe Ephes. But they didn't give any adjectives, they didn't use the word bad, they didn't use the word good, they didn't use the word scary. They just told the people what the land looked like. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu telling off here? Not the Meraglim. The Jewish people's response to the Meraglim. They told you that the fruits were enormous. So, you interpreted that as a scary report. Dehainu, that if the fruits are enormous, it's a scary land. Maybe you should have looked at it in a different way. Maybe you could have seen an enormous fruit and said, Gewaldig, we won't be hungry. I'll grow one tree in my back garden, I'll feed my family for a year. They came back and told you that the cities were fortified. Very good. They told you that the people were big and tall and strong. Gewaldig, it must be something in the water. You could have been excited about Eretz Yisrael. You could have said, we'll go into this land, we'll eat off the fruit and crop of that land, and we'll also be strong, we'll also be successful. But no. You chose to look at it in a negative light. You took the report that was Parav, and you made it Milchik, when you could have had Fleshiks for 3 weeks, 9 days, Lefochus. You chose to make it Milchik. Verdich gebeten. Who asked you to look at it in a negative light? You see a glass where the watermark is halfway up, and you choose to look at it as half empty, instead of half full. This is someone that's called a Kofui Toiva. Somebody who can't recognize the good. Because the opposite of a Kofui Toiva is a Makir Toiv, what we call the Mid of Hakoras HaToiv. Hakoras HaToiv does not mean saying thank you. People think Shoh Hakoras HaToiv means Zog Hashkoach. It's not the Bishat. The word Hakora, Hodor, is the word for thank you. The word Hakora means to recognize the good. To be able to see the good. To see a cloud, to find the silver lining. That's the need of Hakoras HaToiv. If we have Hakoras HaToiv, it's likely that we will then say thank you. But you can say thank you without being Makir Toiv at all. If you check out of a shop, right? You get your change, thank you. Are you really thanking them? Are you really Makir Toiv? It's just automatic. There's two in yonim. There's saying thank you, expressing gratitude. But there's what comes before the expression of gratitude, which is the recognition of gratitude. And the Makir Toiv means I recognize, I found the good. They were told to go into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaToiv Alvon, in the land that's called good. And to come back and to see the good. See a glass as half full and say it's half full. But they chose to say the glass was half empty. That was the chet of the Meraglim, and that was the chet of the response of Klal Yisrael to the Meraglim. That they chose to see the glass as half empty. Because in Pasuk Shteitu Re'ei B'Tuv Yerushalayim, You've got to find the good. You've got to see the good. You've got to appreciate the good. Hakoras HaTov of Eretz HaTov is a special avodah. So Rav Dessler says, he quotes from a medrash, a very scary chazal, where chazal say, Kol ha-koifer b'toivosso shel chaveroi lebasoif yichpor b'toivosso shel mokoi. A person who denies the good of his friend will eventually come to deny the good of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Someone who is a kofui tova, is unable to see the good in others, to appreciate the good from others, will eventually come to be koifer b'toivosso. Not kofui, but koifer. You know what a koifer is? A koifer is a heretic. A koifer is a heretic. You won't be able to see hatoiv ki lo yicholu rachamecha. A person won't be able to be hatoiv shimcha ulecha no elahoidos. Very interesting notion, by the way. Hatoiv shimcha ulecha no elahoidos. First hatoiv shimcha, recognize Hashem is good. That's hakoras hatoiv. Then ulecha no elahoidos. Then you can say shkoyach. But first hatoiv shimcha. If you can't recognize the good in your friend, you can't recognize the good in the world, then ultimately you come to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the ultimate HaTov. Memeile Moshe Rabbeinu wags his finger at Klal Yisrael and says, "Uba'dovor hazeh einchem ma'aminim ba'Hashem Elokeichem." You are kofrim! Not because you sent the spies in, but because you chose to interpret their report in a negative manner, when you could have interpreted it in a positive manner. This HaKoras HaTov that was lacking, as Horem say, was a fundamental breakdown in Emunas Hashem. Because a person, in order to be Ma'amin by Hashem, needs to always see the good in any situation. That's what it means to be Makir Tzav. Hazoshtek. Kiyadua, everybody knows the famous Gemara in Tainis Taf Lamed, on the basis also Gemara of Basra, Taf Samach. But the Gemara says the following line that is sometimes mistranslated. The Gemara says, Kol ha-misabela li-Rushalayim Zoyche V'roye b'simchoso. Anyone who is misaber, anyone who mourns for Yerushalayim, zoyche v'roye b'simchoso is often translated as will merit to see its joy. But if that was correct, then in the Loshon HaKodesh original, it would have said, kol ha-misaber la Yerushalayim yizke v'yire b'simchoso, future tense. It's not what it says. It doesn't say Yizke v'yira will see. It says Zoyche v'roye, present tense, Loshen Hoyve. Interesting. That somebody who is Mis'abel El Yerushalayim, someone who sat this morning and said Kiddus, not Yizke v'yira b'viyas HaMoshiach, but Zoyche v'roye now. That the Avenus itself in Yerushalayim brings a person simcha now. Say this for him. That the inyan is and the yesoid hadova is hakoras hatov. Tisha B'Av is a day of hakoras hatov, meaning to stop, to contemplate, to think, and to remember the gutzkeit, the goodness that is Yerushalayim. To remind ourselves what Yerushalayim is all about. What Yerushalayim could mean, did mean, and will mean. How Yerushalayim fills the central pillar of our lives. That's the tafkid of Tisha B'Av. We lost the Beis HaMikdash. We lost Eretz Yisrael the first time, and the second time, and the third time. The Meraglim, when we didn't get in, and the first base of Midrash, second base of Midrash, because they weren't Makir B'Tuv Yerushalayim, or Re'ei B'Tuv Yerushalayim, they're unable to see the Tuv Yerushalayim. Therefore the Pshat is, if we are Mis'abel Al Yerushalayim, if we really miss it, then that shows that we appreciate it. And if we appreciate Yerushalayim, then immediately with that appreciation comes the sense of joy. Because the Avelus is not supposed to be a desperate Avelus. It's not supposed to be a wringing of our hands and a miserable recounting of the troubles and trails and trials of Klal Yisrael throughout the time. No. It's a Mis'abel El Yerushalayim. You only mourn for something that you want, that you desire, that you crave for, that you love. if we are dismissive of Yerushalayim, meaning we don't care about Yerushalayim, we don't appreciate what it means, Yerushalayim, then we're not going to be zocher to its simcha. But if we are misavah, we stop, we just slam on the brakes. Shova asuru, as we said this morning, kinavov. Just stop. Forget about the holidays next week. Forget about what happened last week. Shova asuru. And we just stop and we think, what is Yerushalayim? Who needs Yerushalayim? What's the purpose of Yerushalayim? Vos geit miron Yerushalayim? Vos artich Yerushalayim? Then all of a sudden, Yerushalayim comes back into focus. Everything else fades away. Yerushalayim suddenly central once again. V'Yerushalayim Ircha takes on new meaning. V'Sechzeno Eneinu takes on new meaning. Davni Temizrach takes more meaning all of a sudden. What does that do for a person? Zoyche V'Roye gives them a sense of joy. Gives them a sense of simcha. Why? Because simcha is only found by someone who has a sense of direction. Someone who knows what life is about. Someone who knows what the future is. Someone who knows what the goal is. Someone who knows the destination. That's a person who has simcha. Not necessarily someone who's grinning like a Cheshire cat. But someone who has inner simcha is someone who knows the road ahead. And the definition of the opposite of that is what we call bechi. Because bechi is the root of the word nevuchim. And nevuchim means I'm bewildered, I'm confused. We find the word nevuchim when they even left Mitzrayim. Nevuchim heim ba'oretz. They're just wandering around without any direction. They don't know where they're going. They haven't got a clue. And that's what bechi is, because bechi means you can't see. This is what I'm saying. When a person is crying, the implication of that is I can't see the road ahead. I don't know what's next. That's what brings a person to a state of absolute depression, of desperation. Whereas when a person clears away the bochor yisidke balaylo, during the night when it's confused, but in the morning there's clarity, therefore dimosos and the alechyo, but not in the eye anymore, then a person receives a tremendous sense of real simcha. Because the definition of simcha is not that I'm happy-clappy, and that everything is fine, and that it doesn't hurt. The definition of simcha is I've got purpose. Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim suddenly feels a sense of purpose. Suddenly reminds themselves what the central goal and role of life is. So zoyche v'roye b'simchoso today. Torah tell us that Chodesh Av, we know that every month has a special tzurufi shem, a tzurufi oisus of the names of Hashem. Yudke Vovke from various different psukim. The Torah bring down that the Yudke Vovke of Chodesh Av is Haskes Ushma Yisrael Hayoim Hazen Hiei Salaom. This is rearranged the letters Yudke Vovke is in the Zidurim. Haskes Ushma Hayoim Hazen Hiei Salaom. Today, on Tisha B'Av, we became a people. We become real once again. We remind ourselves what the Tachlis Ha'om is. It's the day of birth. It's the day of the birth of Moshiach, says in Chazal. And remarkably, we just said, as our second last keynote, we said the words, Eli Tzion Bo'oreho, Kemo Yisho B'Tzihireho. What's the Tos Yisho B'Tzihireho? Someone who's desperate, someone who's depressed? No. It's a mother who's in pain, deep pain. But with a goal, there's a future. There's a child. It's a laid as ha'om. Haskes u'shmaha, yoim hazeh nihiyeh salom, you become a day. That's taich moed. Because the word moed means a destination. The word moed, the root of the word moed is va'ad. La'olam void. Yield. There's a destination. There's a place that I know where I'm going. This is the Moed of Tisha B'Av, where a person suddenly remembers that life is not about the shopping, especially not today. And life is not about all the other things that distract us, but life is about Avodas Hashem. And we can't be Oyed Hashem without a Beis HaMikdash. We say, V'shom na'avodcho b'yiro, one day we'll be able to serve Hashem again. But today we don't have Avodas Hashem properly. And that recognition brings a person simcha, because it brings us back in line once again. It's a bit like when the tom-tom loses that signal. you come in sugar. Right, and then you come out of the tunnel, we're back on the road again. Right, turn around at 300 miles. But you're back on track. Back on track. That's Tisha B'Av, Moed, Sidah Yad. There's a Beis HaMikdosh. There's Avodas Hashem. Oh yes, that's right. I forgot what I'm here for. Bechal, the whole purpose of Bal Yisra, I forgot. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Meraglim, Es Ha'oretz Mahi, look at it, find the good, Mahi is good. The Holy Yerushalayim gets its name from the ability to see the good, to be Makir the Tov, to recognize what Yerushalayim is. We remember this from Avraham and Yitzchak as they went towards the Arkadon, towards Har Habayis. And they went, Ushnei Na'orav Imoy. Took along Yishmol, took along Eliezer as well for the ride. And then they stopped. And they said, Avraham looked up. And he turns around to Yitzchak and says, can you see what I can see? Yitzchak says, I see a Beis HaMikdash. Thousands of years later, the Ponovitch Rav had the same vision on the top of Ponovitch Hill. The ability to see the Rei B'Tuv Yerushalayim. Turns around to the others. And he says, can you see what we can see? We see a hilltop. You stay here with the donkey. Your vision is as penetrative as the donkey's. You can't see B'Tuv Yerushalayim. All you can see is a barren hilltop. Svarim say chamor is chomer. Chomer is materialism. All you can see is the material world. You can't see the inner world, the gutkeit of the Tov Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the word Yerushalayim, to see it. Har Hashem Yeroe, or Re'ei B'Tuv Yerushalayim. Almost out of time already. I'll very quickly share with you how to encapsulate this entire idea from the or of Shachrais and Hakdoma to Avi Ezri. As the Pesuk in Vayelech says, when he talks about Golus, which we are commemorating today, the Pesuk says, when it's talking about the individual, we could be collective for Kali Yisrael as well. When the person finds Rois, Rabois, Tzoris, all these terrible things happening to them. So what happens? So he aims to do Teshuvah. And the Pesuk says, just a minute, sorry, I've lost it. Pasuk says here, "V'chora api boy v'yom ha'hu." Hashem says, "I will pour my anger." Va'azabtim v'histarati ponah mehem. There'll be a hest upon him. So, again, rois rabois v'tzoros. There'll be rois rabois, terrible things v'tzoros chas v'shon. V'omam v'yom ha'hu. And what will the response be of those that are suffering? Haloi al pi'ein eloi kai v'kirbi mitzouni horoi se'ele. Because Hashem is not in my midst. That's why. That's why I have all these roys. What happened to Tzoris? The Pasuk begins by saying that the person will encounter roys and Tzoris. And then he'll say, because Hashem's not here, that's why I have all these roys. What happened to the Tzoris? There's a big difference between a ro and a tzora. A ro is the actual negative event itself. The tzara means to be narrowed, the constriction, it's the pain, the pressure that comes with it. What the Pasuk is saying is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has master his ponim, so there's rois, there's pain that comes, and there's tzaras as well, we're lost, we're constricted, we're confined, we're limited, we can't see. But as soon as a person says, Ki'ena l'kai v'kirbi, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in the middle. The Beis HaMikdash is not in the center of Yerushalayim. The Emes HaSiyo HaShemimeno Hushtas Kol HaOilah is missing. So what happens? The Tzora is lifted. The Ro'ah? Still there, possibly. But the Tzora is lifted. Tisha B'Av is a day where perhaps we focus on the Ro'ahs, but it's a day to alleviate the Tzoras, because it reminds us once again of what the central focal point has to be of Klal Yisrael. That is the moed that the Gemara talks about of Tisha B'Av, based on the Pasuk in Eicha. That a moed, the moed of Tisha B'Av, is a realignment of focus, a realignment of priorities. That without a Beis HaMikdash, we have nothing. We look around the world today. I'm a shugan adult. Someone told me this morning that the Iranian foreign minister has urged the British government to show restraint in its dealings with the demonstrators. The Iranian foreign minister. I'm a shogun of that! Who knows what's next? But we forget that nothing is random, nothing is arbitrary. It's all part of the Hestoponim. And Tisha B'Av is a yontif because it's a gift. Tisha B'Av is a gift because it puts everything into perspective and puts everything out of the way. For at least half a day, maybe a day, beginning with Tisha B'Av, to remind me that it's not good enough without the Beis Hamikdash. It's not good enough without Yerushalayim. Don't say stand by it. We're out of time here. Yosef Shibol, Beis Hamikdash, Meir, 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 Meir,